Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Tech Talks, where industry meets innovation. I'm your host, Aaron Vaughn. Join me and the Cancer Playbook team as we discuss the origins and mission of the Cancer Playbook Initiative, which was co-founded by Jim Garinger after his son was diagnosed with cancer. The company focuses on using technology, data, and patient-reported outcomes to empower cancer patients and provide them with personalized playbooks to guide their treatment and recovery. To start off, can you tell me a little bit about Cancer Playbook? I know Jim, your son had a cancer diagnosis, and that influenced the inception of Cancer Playbook and the ERIC initiative. So can you tell me a little bit about that story?
Sure. So when Eric was 8, which was in 2000, he had a bout with a brain tumor, misdiagnosed. And because it was misdiagnosed, it went almost 8 months of them could have found out 8 months before. Just kept putting it off. And a friend of mine said, go get a CAT scan just to make sure it's not the worst case scenario. And it was. It was a brain tumor. It's about the size of a golf ball. And because they couldn't get it all out, it grew back 2 years later. And that's really where the issue started to begin. He had a stroke and half his body was paralyzed. So as a parent, you start really considering what's going on with this treatment, for one thing, because it was called a craniotomy. They go in and they take a section of your skull out, which is just terrible. And then the second time in is always never guaranteed. They just said it doesn't get better every time you go back in, and which was terrible having to go back in because of the misdiagnosis. But fast forward 8 years from that point, we had a full clear. Everything was good. All the CAT scans, PET scans, everything you had to go through, finally all clear. 3 months later, he couldn't pee. We were at the Augusta National Golf Course. He started not complaining, but talking about, I just can't go to the bathroom. It's not easy, and ended up going to the doctor when he got back to California. And the doctor basically just said, hey, you have cancer. So here's a kid that's been through hell his whole life and really a good ending. He's 32 and he's doing great, really a special kid, but he just went through hell. So it in 2012 is when we went through it was called Burkitt's lymphoma and non-Hodgkin's, really aggressive, terrible treatment, just rough on people. A lot of people die from the treatment. And we started realizing my friend's mom had stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Eric had stage 2 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And when Eric was gone, his second day of treatment, she passed away. So we started thinking, wow, I never really understood stage 4, stage 2. I just have never understood it, never really needed to. And we recognized the fact that stage 2 is alive, stage 4 is not. We need to start helping people understand to catch it early. Mm-hmm. So we came up with, through multiple different people, early recognition is critical. And it is. Even to this day, it's becoming more prevalent and relevant. You're seeing it all over the place. The NFL's got this catch it early deal going. Nothing was going on back then, so we were just kind of ahead of our time, and there was no roadmap set for it. So we started off on our journey. We started educating kids on how to recognize cancer symptoms early. We were we called it youth cancer awareness and body, and we wanted kids to know their body and speak up if something was wrong with it. So speak up is still a big part of what we do. And it's just something for everybody to pay attention to. Is if the hardest thing to do is say you might have something wrong with you, and then tell yourself you do, but then admit it to somebody else that now it's getting real, and you've all of a sudden brought it to the forefront, and they're going to want you to go get something done about it. That's exactly why we do it. And fast forward, pandemic hit. We had actually done over 150,000 middle school kids, teaching them how to speak up, teaching them ultimate frisbee. I owned part of a professional ultimate frisbee team for a while, played frisbee as a kid. So I used that plastic as my vehicle to get the kids to listen to us to talk about cancer, which is not something that an 8-year-old kid expects to go to at school that day, right? So we had fun with them, but they also learned a good message. And we had a lot of kids come up to us and tell us, stories about how the way cancer has affected them, even though they're only 8 to 10 years old. So that's where it all started. Then, I ran into Jamie, and this mission with Eric, really important part of what Eric went through is when he was He was 18 when he went through this. And when we were in California, and I was living with him out there, and we were living next to a guy that had a brain tumor that was making cannabis oil. And we didn't really understand what cannabis oil was. We just thought, you know, just, would you squeeze it like an olive or what, man? We just had no idea. So when Eric got home, he came over and he said, here, try this. It's called full extract cannabis oil. And he said, it should help with a lot of the symptoms and stuff. So it literally eliminated 5 of the 9 symptoms of prescriptions. 5 of the 9 went away completely. So we were like, huh, this is amazing. Because, you know, it's nausea, and the one that helps you with the pill that takes away the nausea, and just, it's ridiculous. So we started really researching it. Another friend got Crohn's. His kid did it, turned into like a beast. He started eating ribeyes 2-3 weeks later. We wouldn't eat anything at all with Crohn's. It was just a constant. He felt terrible, not from the Crohn's, but from the pills they were feeding him full of. When he finally got off of those and he started doing full extract cannabis oil, he got his hunger back, and he turned into like, wanted to go to school again, and it just became into a real kid again. Pharmaceuticals are just tearing people up. So that's a long version of a good ending. Eric's now 32 and runs the company business, and one of my best friends, and it's pretty awesome. So
that's amazing. Yeah, it's a hell of a story. So lots to unpack there. I'm so glad that Eric is doing well now. So, and I'm glad that cannabis helped through his recovery journey. So what you said about pharmaceuticals is 100% true. You know, I think we overprescribe, especially in the U.S. And, you know, we don't always treat the actual problem. A lot of times we just treat the symptoms, and then the side effects that you get from that medication, use other medication for. So
got a pill for that.
You got a pill for everything, right? Even got a pill for weight loss now.
And of course they got a fat guy dancing on TV, you know. That just doesn't inspire me to it just makes me want to go, you know.
Yeah. And you know, when you see the commercials where, you know, do you have sweaty palms? Well, you know, you can take this pill and it, you know, it may give you a heart attack, but you know, no more sweaty palms. So.
Yeah, listen to the side effects, and they are usually, death is one of them, you know, pretty much for everything.
A lot of times, yeah. Can you elaborate on the 40-20-40 model and its significance in patient empowerment?
Yeah, sure. I got to give Carmen credit for that. He's my friend out of Dusseldorf, Germany. He had these bracelets. I met him on an island in Croatia. And these bracelets are all about recognizing cancer early. It really is. So this is like stage 2 right here, this blue. And this is 95% success rate. And this is stage 4. It's the opposite. So it's just so important. And this is for breast self-exams. And that's what we do all over the world. We have small little chapters, and some of them are large. One of them's in Uganda, that teach women all day, every day, to how to check their breast for lumps that small. Most of the time they don't understand that they're looking for that. They're thinking they're looking for a freaking a golf ball or something like that. It's not. It's way less than that, and it's almost something like a pimple. You might just overlook it sometimes, you know. So the 40-20-40 is 40% speak up. Speak up is education, prevention. The 20% is screen up, which is the breast self-exam, education, and prevention. Because we believe if you catch it stage 2 before stage 4, it is prevention. And then the 40% is heal up. Heal up is the cancer playbook, the whole program about how to do something if you are diagnosed with cancer. We don't leave you just hanging. We don't help you find it and then say, good luck. We're involved, and we provide a lot of data from other people. And that's how the cancer playbook works. And I'm going to have these two guys help us explain how the cancer playbook and stuff like that all kind of came together.
Yeah. So cancer playbook is probably one of the most exciting things that I've been a part of. We, you know, interact with cancer patients very frequently throughout the day. But one of the most exciting things that we can do is take a story. And we've, you know, programmed several bots and AI tools to go in, take a full story, analyze it down into the key data points that a cancer patient would need. And then are able to combine multiple patient reported outcomes that are like-minded. So if they're, you know, a lung cancer patient or a skin cancer patient, we're able to classify them, pull the key data points together, and then create an actual playbook, combine it with research and provide a playbook that tells you what another cancer patient did that's in your situation, as well as gives you several examples of what successful outcomes other cancer patients had. So it's a phenomenal tool. We've got a AI bot. I'll let Ryan talk about the bot a little bit, but we've got a fantastic bot that you can go and have a conversation with, that is completely programmed off of our data.
Yeah. At Cannabis and Tech, we love cannabis and we love tech. So please.
Well, here we go.
Show us how you're integrating AI into your platform.
Yeah. So one of the main things that we've encountered is people have a lot of questions, and we've had a lot of what we call static playbooks, sort of a breakdown of here's what to expect when you're trying to deal with this particular condition using these particular medical cannabis approaches. But the problem is that there are just so many variables and so many people, especially going through cancer and cancer treatment specifically, so many things can go haywire at any given level that we needed something that was really dynamic. We needed something interactive that was going to be able to answer the most random questions in the world about, you know, I have this, you know, this rare set of conditions in addition to my cancer, and I'm using this type of cannabis. Is this safe? What can I expect? Things like that. And in order to build that, we put together one of the largest databases of cannabis and cancer research and patient reported outcomes ever compiled. So we have in this data set that feeds into this AI, we have over 10,000 peer-reviewed studies on medical cannabis. We have the accumulated information of around 5,000 patient reported outcomes of patients who have had cancer and many of whom have been using medical cannabis in order to be able to get information to feed this bot. And one of the main things that we try to avoid is the problem of ChatGPT, which, as I'm sure you're familiar with, there's a big problem with hallucinations, where it'll tell you what you want to know, not what is necessarily accurate. And when a person's got cancer and they're trying to figure out their best treatment, that's not something that we can afford. So that's why we built our own custom interface on the back end. We have it highly grounded so that it's pulling from our information, not from an LLM's program of just, well, usually when people say this, they want to hear that, so that's what I'm going to tell them. So our information is heavily built upon making sure that we're giving people factual information and really, really specific information, as deep down as they want to get. Let's say I'm a cancer patient who has basal cell carcinoma, and I'm concerned about whether cannabis oil can treat my lesion. Maybe just something along those lines, because that's one of the questions a lot of people have at the outset is, can I put it directly on the lesion? Can I use this for treatment directly? Is this only for palliative care, you know, treating the pain? And let's see what we get from this. And so from that, we're going to get feedback. It acknowledges the basal cell carcinoma. It acknowledges that that cannabis oils have been effective at treating a lot of different types of skin cancers, including basal cell carcinoma. Then it references medical studies in the Journal of Dermatological Science, showing that that cannabis oil was actually effective at reducing both the size and the severity of basal cell carcinomas. And then going on into JAMA Dermatology, showing that it also reduced the pain and the inflammation. So we just open-ended asked a question that is honestly going to stump most medical doctors in an office. If you go into most doctors' offices and ask them, is this cannabis oil going to reduce the size of my lesion? Now, obviously, there is no universal statement. You can't give medical advice that says, absolutely, this medication or this treatment is always going to work. But most doctors would have no idea about what even the averages are. They wouldn't even know what the evidence has said in general. So our goal was to try to be able to give something that people can have in their hand, in their pocket, when they go into their doctor's office, to be able to say, hey, it says right here, you know, in the Journal of Dermatological Science, that it's effective at reducing, you know, the tumor size. Is that something we can explore? And that gives the patient, you know, a guidebook, a playbook, to be able to try to chart their own course for their own treatment that's based on evidence, that's based on science, that's based on what other patients have experienced in the past.
We got to think about the patient autonomy.
Exactly.
It's such a huge part of what... Go ahead, Ryan. Sorry.
Yeah, no. And it's a critical part of everything that that patients need, is to be able to interact with their doctors on as partners, and be able to figure out what is their best treatment. In order to do that, they need to be able to have an idea about what to expect from the various treatments. And this is one of the things Jim has always said, is, you know, research plus patient reported outcome equals a playbook. And that's the goal that we tried to put into this on the back end in terms of AI, is build an artificial intelligence system that feeds off of machine learning of all of these hundreds of thousands of data points, to be able to give cancer patients simple, easy to understand information to take to the doctor.
It's crowdsourcing at its finest.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit of Yelp, you know, since we're talking technology here. I compare it to Waze all the time, because I'm a Waze guy. I drive down to Austin from Dallas all the time. And when I check my Waze on, and if it's more than like 3 hours and 10 minutes, I don't go. Because I know how it works. You know, it's like something's going on and they're going to reroute you in Waco. But Waze is amazing, though, because the way it works is the algorithm doesn't immediately tell you to take a right to avoid traffic, but they wait to a certain point. They wait for 5 or 10 or a certain amount of cars that hit it. And then they start saying, reroute, reroute. And then next thing you know, everybody that's on Waze is rerouting, you know, down the same road, which is amazing still. So that's how we work through the playbook, because you don't know what the second play is until we know how you did in the first play. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing chemo, you're in a different playbook than somebody that's not doing chemo. If you've already done chemo, you're in a whole nother book than anybody that we're talking about, because most people are going through it. If you're done with it, that's a maintenance program, is what we call that. So everybody's kind of got their place to fit in. And then the next play depends on how the first play goes. What's going on? How did it work?
Another thing that is awesome that we have is, so we have multiple sources of gathering data. Like anybody who's ever gone through cancer, especially if they use cannabis, can just go to our webpage. They can send us an email. They can send us a story like handwritten. They can fill out a survey. They can videotape it, whatever it is. And we'll take those key data points. But then we also have a whole nother program where we work with dispensaries and cancer patients directly who are actively going through treatment. And we collect a profile survey from them when they first start. We help get them a discount on FECO. And we send out a survey every Friday asking, you know, what those doses were, what their cancer condition is like right now, how it helped manage their symptoms. So we're getting active live data from cancer patients that are regularly going through this. And it does a couple of things. One, it makes them feel like somebody in the cannabis space cares about their cancer. What we find is that these surveys and the system is actually quite empowering for the cancer patients, as well as their story, you know, is anonymized and then used in these playbooks to help future cancer patients as well.
And then we use the data, back to technology, to help future patients.
Yep.
It's crowdsourced.
Right.
Yelp.
And a platform is only as good as its training data, right? And so it sounds like you're getting the best training data that you possibly can with both the latest research along with these testimonials as well. And so I think that it's those two sides of it that really make this powerful.
Yeah.
And we also do dogs.
Yep.
That's my dog, Kira. Mm-hmm. I went and had lunch with my mother, which I'm pretty fortunate to have. I'm 64 years old. My mom's 101 years old.
Wow. Congrats. Congrats to her. I have to know the secret.
Yeah. I think that my dad died a while ago. That's probably the secret. But
I'm sorry to hear that. But.
Yeah. No, she's kicking ass, man. And she's doing great. And she's got a good caregiver, Lisa, shout out to you. But so the dogs. She got a I go to a place local here, Lefty's Lobster, and I always get food for my mom and me. We go over there and have lunch together, and they know Kira's always in the car looking in. And they always go, look at your dog freaking like beelining on you. And they always started giving me a scoop of raw hamburger meat. She's on total raw. So what I'm leading to is if you have a dog and you're considering transitioning off of kibble, which is the absolute worst thing you could ever feed yours. Would you eat Doritos all day, every day? Doritos and hot dogs, you're going to turn into a big fat slob, basically. It just gets terrible. So that's what kibble is. We recommend transitioning him into whole foods. Some people want to have lightly cooked, but Kira's on full raw. She's just a specimen. She has everything's good on her. Healthy diet, healthy poops, great coat. But our program is called Cancer Playbook for Dogs. Dogs have backbones. They have an endocannabinoid system just like us. It's starving just like ours. When you give them cannabinoids, they just love it, man. I mean, they do great with, you know, CBD, you know, mostly full spectrum and CBD, majority CBD. They do fantastic on it.
That's what I've heard. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, you know, they are members of the family. So why wouldn't we want to give the, you know, the same kind of attention and the same kind of treatment, you know, if there's something wrong with your dog and you know, you can't quite figure it out. I mean, this is perfect. So, that's amazing. Out of curiosity, what about cats? Do cats have an endocannabinoid system that you know of?
If they have a backbone, they do.
Okay.
So they do. Yeah.
Ah, good to know. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is all amazing information. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Yeah, sure. So just to toss out one of the things that's that we've been working on that's a little bit different from the tech side in terms of the AI, but I guess it does tie into tech in terms of it's, yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you published a peer-reviewed research paper on medical cannabis and cancer. And we started out with just trying to, it wasn't even going to be a paper originally. We just wanted to find out what was the scientific consensus around how effective is cannabis for cancer. And we found out that there was no consensus. Everybody was all over the place. So we ended up conducting the largest meta-analysis on cannabis and cancer ever done. We incorporated 10,316 studies into it, built a custom machine learning algorithm to be able to comb through all of it and be able to figure out what are the points of agreement and disagreement across all these different papers and figure out what is the scientific community's perspective on how effective cannabis is. And it ended up being it went viral because it came out dramatically bigger than we anticipated. Like for pharmacological success, it's got to be like 55-45 efficacy. We ended up finding roughly 300% greater support for cannabis than against it, which blew us away. That's one of the reasons why we kept running the numbers over and over and over until we got to such a huge amount, is it just so dramatic. But yeah, it's gone viral. We've gotten over 500 million views worldwide. Been in Forbes, Politico, The Guardian, NPR,
Apple News, on and on and on. Amazing.
Yeah, top 1% of all research published in terms of reads, which was something that just took us all by surprise, but it was a great great thing to discover.
It shows the appetite, you know, really.
Yeah, that's amazing. I think there was definitely a gap for that. So I would love to read that paper. Just to clarify, so were the findings that cannabis is effective for most cancers or some cancers specifically? Or, you know, can you dig into a little bit of the results?
Yeah, the results, it does. We have over, I think, 400 or 500 specific keywords and terms and conditions that we're checking through. So I would say if you're looking for any specific condition, definitely check out the paper. But overall, yeah, it found that cannabis was highly effective for just sort of quality of life care, like pain, nausea, all the standard things that we knew of, but also that it had pretty widespread consensus that it was effective at reducing tumor size, reducing the rate of recurrence of cancer, slowing the growth of tumors, and then just directly killing cancer cells early on in the process. And we found that in a large block of studies. So that was something really exciting, because that's never been really confirmed in one spot.
And if you collect enough anecdotal evidence, which a lot of people never took serious, but our MD said not many people have taken anecdotal and empirical and combined them together. They're normally on one side. It's kind of like you pick a side in politics. That's how it is in medical, right? You jump on which side of the fence you are. You don't dare get on the fence, you know? Well, we are on the fence, you know? And it's amazing. It's bringing up all these different things that people have never seen before. And the benefits of having people that went through it tell you how it was, how they felt after they came out of it, and giving people hope for this dreaded disease that people make, you know, they act like they're God. You have stage four. Well, fuck you. Excuse my language, but screw your ass. Don't tell me I have stage four. That's just not the way you tell somebody that we can beat this stuff, right?
Yeah.
You got to start that conversation off different. And that's what we do, is we recommend, you know, when you get diagnosed, you're scared and confused. That's the two things I guarantee it. I know. And so parents are, and everybody else are too. That's what we try to address immediately, is the ability to try to walk them down off that ledge and tell them that there's hope. There's hope. There's a lot of things out there. And we could start on our program right away. It's like, that's number one we want to teach people, is start on our program. And then you go get chemo, radiation, whatever you want to do. But ultimately, you want to be on this cannabis regimen, because it'll make everything not only work better, but easier on your body.
Yep.
So that's really
we've got some amazing success stories too. And I think it's really important to sit to like reinforce the research paper that is written is our database for the cancer playbook. So you're getting really good collected data that
peer reviewed
that you would be spending hours going to go scrape somewhere to try to find the answers to. And we've got it all gathered, tagged, ready for you to just go in and ask your question, and then find it pulls from that database.
We like Google, but we don't recommend you go to Google for helping you with cancer, because they give you a bunch of, you know, what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some CBD for sale. Well, that's not going to help you any, you know, it's really not. You got to do some THC with it, things like that. And we don't sell anything, so except free information.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, what you guys are doing is incredible stuff. So I would love to read the paper. You know, I encourage everybody to go out and check out Cancer Playbook. So what's the official name of the website?
Cancerplaybook.org.
Okay, easy.
You can go to the media section. There's a media on the drop down, and it, underneath, I think, us or about us, and you hit the media, and then it'll open up the not only the paper, but all the companies that published it and their own outlook on what their lead statements were about it, like The Guardian, how they presented it, and then Apple News and CNN and Forbes. And it just blew up.
Yeah,
so
yeah, well, if anything's going to blow up in the news, you know, something like this is a lot better than what we see most days, right?
Absolutely. Amen to that, man. Yeah, I think so. Well, we appreciate your time and
very much.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you guys. Keep doing the good work. I appreciate it.
Yeah, cancerplaybook.org.
If you're in cannabis cultivation, you need to see what XR Pure's XR16 can do. This system is a game changer, a cold process, chemical-free way to keep your flower clean without affecting potency or terpenes. Using X-ray decontamination, it eliminates mold and bacteria without heat or harsh treatments. Just pure, uncontaminated cannabis that meets compliance every time. With recalls on the rise, protecting your product isn't just smart, it's survival. XR Pure is making that easier than ever. Check them out at xrpure.com and see how the XR16 is helping brands stay ahead of the curve.